Steel Harbor, 2017, the Second American Civil War.
The old democracy is overthrown by a tyrannical new group called the Congressional Directorate. Every city in the nation is under martial law, except one, Steel Harbor, the last free city. A secluded island of shrinking independence, it is a place marked by chaos and crime, providing a home for a new kind of mercenary.
Polygram Filmed Entertainment presents. A Propaganda Films Dark Horse Entertainment production. Pamela Anderson Lee as Barb Wire. Barb Wire is an attractive, curvaceous blonde with long flowing hair. She wears a figure-hugging black leather bodice with plunging cleavage. Tamura Morrison as Axel. Victoria Rolle as Cora D. Barb is showered in water. Jack Noseworthy as Charlie. Xander Berkeley as Willis. Udo Kier as Curly. Andre Rose Brown as Big Fatso. Nicholas Worth as Reuben. Barb dances in the shower of water, fondling her breasts. Clint Howard as Schmitz. Jennifer Banco as Spike. And Steve Railsback as Prizer. Casting Rick Montgomery and Dan Parada, CSA. Music supervisor Barclay K. Griggs. Music Michelle Colombier. Men sit at tables applauding Barb as she rides on a stage in front of them. Men in plastic masks spray her with water. Costumes designed by Rosanna Norton, edited by Peter Schenck. A distinguished looking gentleman looks approvingly at Barb. Next to him are two drunken men in their 40s. Barb sways on a swing, still showered in water. Production designer Jean-Philippe Karp, director of photography Rick Bota, line producer Robert Del Valle.
Come on, honey! Get it all off! Come on, make me stand up for queen and country! Show us what you got! Come on, honey! Come on, all of it! Yeah, there you go! All of it! Come on! And rest! Come on, babe!
Barb flings a stiletto and the heel skewers the drunk through the head. The gentleman at the next table nods approvingly. Curtains fall across the stage.
One more person calls me babe.
Two men drag Barb's victim outside. A short fat man, Sharif, crosses to the gentleman at the next table.
Mr. Santos, the package has arrived.
A special order?
And the lock and key.
What about the new dancer?
Who?
The blonde with the guns.
Ah, if she's more to your pleasing, it's her first night and I haven't had a chance to feel her out. But I'm sure you'll be very pleased with the special order. She's as tender as Tuscan veal.
Santos fans away the fumes of Sharif's breath. Sharif backs away, bowing. Backstage in the dressing room, an Oriental woman and a brunette are making themselves up. Barb comes in.
How's the crowd, honey?
Barb takes off the towel wrapped around her hair.
Wet.
Quel approchement spectaculaire. Je vous vois.
Come again.
She's Chinese.
Barb looks at them quizzically. Sharif enters the dressing room and goes up to Barb.
Very well done. They loved you. I would like to talk to you about coming back in my office. I'll be waiting for you.
Sure thing, big boy.
The Oriental girl smiles, and Barb exchanges knowing glances with the other woman. Produced by Mike Richardson, Todd Moyer, and Brad Wyman. Directed by David Hogan. Barb walks along a darkened corridor into the kitchens. She tries the metal handle of a locked door. She opens her handbag. Inside are a variety of metal implements. She takes out one with the pointed end. She puts the implement back. It's Sharif.
What are you doing here?
I'm looking for a light.
She turns round with a cigarette in her hand.
Got one.
I don't smoke.
She blows a dart out of the cigarette into his forehead.
Neither do I.
She takes some keys from Sharif's body and opens the locked door. It leads into the meat freezer. There's a teenage girl inside dressed in a school uniform.
Who are you?
I'm the one who's getting you out of here. Trust me.
Right this way, Mr. Sasha.
Shit, come on.
Barb pulls her over to a service chute and pushes her through.
Go!
They slide down the other side, then run. A man finds Sharif's body.
Me and Kim.
He draws a gun. Barb and the girl run upstairs. They try to open a sash window. Backstage, Sharif's man finds another henchman. Barb throws a chair through the window. It falls 5 stories to the ground. She unhooks some wire from her belt, leans out of the window, and looks up.
What are you doing? Ever see Batman?
No, I can't!
Men run up the stairs. Barb and the girl descend on a wire from the window. They land gently on the ground. The girl looks round in a daze.
God damn it!
Barb grabs her. A man leans out the window. Down the street, under an overhang, a man paces beside a red sports car. A woman sits inside, patting her hair nervously. Barb and the girl approach through the gloom.
Here's your little pride and joy.
Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We thought we'd never see our little girl again. Thank you.
Cut the shit. Where's my money?
Honey, pay this woman.
I'm afraid there's been a slight problem. I could only come up with half the money.
Half the money? Fine. I'll take half your daughter.
Wait, I'm sure we can negotiate something.
Barb drives off in their sports car. The mother embraces the girl and pats her arm.
The car, plus the cash. Not a bad night's work. It was the middle of the Second American Civil War. The world had gone to hell. The year was 2017, the worst year of my life. There was only one free city, and that's where I'd lived for 3 years. Port Steele Harbor. What a shithole.
The moon rises over the wrecked Capitol building in Washington. A woman lies tethered on a table, surrounded by soldiers.
Why don't we start again? From the beginning.
I told you everything I know. I told you.
Mind scan up on screen one, Colonel.
Image is present.
Citizen, I abhor torture, but your words just don't match your thoughts. There are clearly details that you're just not sharing. Our little mind reader device doesn't lie.
The woman has equipment clamped over one eye.
Reset sensors. Whoa.
Now, where's Dr. Karina Devonshire?
The colonel turns to an electronic picture of her body and touches the shoulder. The girl's body trembles violently. The colonel stands over her. He has piercing blue eyes and slick back dark hair.
She's going to Steele Harbor. The Free City.
Can you tell me why Cora Dee's going to Steele Harbor?
She's meeting members of the Resistance. They're giving her their retinal lenses. Helping her out of the country. To Canada. She's with a freedom fighter named Axel.
Who has the retinal lenses now?
William Krebs.
How are they getting her into the city?
She's had plastic surgery. Your face has changed. You won't recognize her. You'll never find her.
You're so beautiful. I'm sorry.
Colonel Prizer, executive counsel on line 2.
Tell him to hold. Put him on.
Prizer puts on his army uniform.
Colonel Prizer? Any word yet on our traitorous doctor, Cora Dee?
I'm not gonna pander to that mythic name bullshit.
Well, Dr. Devonshire still poses quite a problem to the Congressionals. Her escape could jeopardize our strongest defensive action yet.
fully aware of that, citizen.
Dr. Devonshire was privy to some of the most sensitive military secrets of the Congressional Republic. Her DNA holds the antidote to our greatest biochemical weapon. She must be captured alive at any cost.
I'll take care of your problem, citizen. I'll get my hands dirty for you again. I wouldn't be cleaning up your mess. You had stopped it from escaping Washington in the first place.
Well, I had no direct knowledge of that operation. Of course, it was a vital part of our contract to assure...
The UN, Dr. Corinna Devonshire, Corps D, whatever she calls herself, it really doesn't matter. She belongs to me. She's connecting with a resistance contact named Krebs. He has the lenses and will be helping her leave the congressional territories. They're meeting in the Free City, Steel Harbor. I'll contact the local authorities immediately. You see, I do my own work, citizen.
It's night, and Axel and Cora creep through the dark underneath a pier. Axel is tall and muscular, with close-cropped black hair. Cora is a black woman in her 30s with a frizzy mop of hair. Axel sees a car approaching in the distance. The car stops and flashes its headlights twice.
It's them. Let's go.
Axel and Cora run over to the car. There are two men sitting inside.
One of these Crips.
We'll meet him later.
Axel and Cora get in the back.
Hurry.
Outside a bar called the Hammerhead Club, two men are fighting. A tall bouncer grabs a man who jumps the queue. He throws the man on the floor, but he lets some other men wearing trilbies go right on in.
Gentlemen, I'll take those weapons.
Don't lose the clip!
Don't worry about it!
The men hand over their guns and walk through. A woman dressed in punk gear is singing with her band on a gantry above the bar. The men walk through a turnstile into the bar area. A bouncer searches them. Women partner each other on a dance floor. A bald waiter, Curly, moves through the crowds.
Dry martinis and a Cuban cigar.
Got it!
A redhead wearing a basque that exposes her breasts walks up to the bar and sits beside a young man with long blonde hair wearing sunglasses. Curly opens a bottle of champagne. A tattooist puts the finishing touches to a tribal design on a customer's face. A fight breaks out near Curly.
Please be polite.
Curly walks past a man wearing the clothes of an Arab sheikh.
Excuse me.
Curly. Hey. I'm still waiting to hear from Miss Wyatt.
I can't wait your offer to her. $1,500 to shove off the legs of your ex-partner? You must be joking. Naturally, she declined. Miss Wyatt doesn't accept this kind of job. Please.
What? My money is not good enough for her? I will make my offer in person.
If I were you, I wouldn't do that.
Why?
Miss Wyatt's private secretary, Camille here, doesn't have you in her apartment book. And she can be very mean.
Camille is a Rottweiler.
You see?
Time for a couple of dedications. To Bobby from Carlene, the test came back and everything is cool. And from Samantha the cow, you thieving, murderous bastard. If I ever see you again, I'll rip out your eyes and pluck up your ears. Damn it, I don't just tug at my heartstrings. Now here's a little rhythm for you heartsick boys and girls.
Chanel number 5. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
At the bar.
When I smelled it, I thought to myself, Charlie, now this is obviously a woman of significant breeding. And then I thought, I wonder if she'd like to do some. Breeding, that is. What do you think about that, sweetheart?
Who are you talking to?
The woman has walked away.
Some chick.
Where's your mercurial sister?
Why didn't you try the office? Oh, and when you see her, tell her I only had 2.
The barman holds up 9 fingers.
Okay. Whatever you say, Charlie.
That's my boy.
The car containing Axel and Cora pulls up near a warehouse, but it's greeted by a police car. Another police car pulls up behind them.
Stay put. We'll handle this.
The two men get out and go over to the approaching cops.
That's your ID.
feels wrong.
This is making me very nervous.
Look, we just stick with the plan, okay? Change of plans. Let's go.
The cops draw guns and shoot the driver and his companion. Then they turn on the car. They go up to the car and shine a torch through the shattered windows, but the back seat is empty.
Shit. Find him now!
Sorry, boss. This is a good moment to talk about the payroll?
No.
Tonight's fan mail.
He hands her some letters.
3 offers to sell black market dollars, another offer to buy the bar, an urgent request to contact her assistants, and a badly sent in proposal of marriage.
She gets up and pulls his wig off.
No more Valentine's, Curly. Oh, it's awful.
Look, boss. I hate keep bringing this up. I really do. But tomorrow's payday. What am I going to use for money? A smile?
Relax, Curly. I got it covered.
Are we going out?
For a while.
Just how far out are we going to go?
I want to get some air.
But I thought you got some air
last night.
That didn't happen. This isn't happening either.
She gets into an open lift at the back of the office.
Anybody asks, I'm taking a bubble bath.
Bob. I just don't like...
Just keep Charlie out from under the tables. It's embarrassing.
I will.
Barb gets on her motorbike and roars through the city streets, revving the bike with long fingernailed hands. Meanwhile, at the docks, Axel peers out from his hiding place as armed guards pass by. Axel makes sure there's no one behind them, then beckons Cora to follow him. He takes her hand, and they charge the 2 guards. Cora attacks the female guard, but is thrown down and kicked in the stomach. The woman turns on Axel, but eventually he beats her to the floor. Then, Axel knocks the male guard to the floor, and wrenches the man's head back.
Sweet dreams. Okay, let's go.
Now what?
We find Cribs.
Any bright ideas how?
Just one.
I had to do a little moonlighting to keep my bar running. Not an easy life. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. And in this world, you gotta use everything you got.
Hey, handsome. Want some company?
You a cop?
Barb opens her jacket and shows off her basque.
See a badge?
The man is fat and bald and sweating profusely. He's wearing a jacket, yellow shirt, and bow tie. He looks around nervously, then creeps up to Barb.
You got your med ready?
Full medical. Checked yesterday.
She holds up a card. He snatches it from her. It says, License of Prostitution, Olivia Lewis, Good Health. He gives the card back and looks her up and down.
How much is this gonna cost me?
That depends on how you want to play.
I like to play rough.
Me too.
They walk off down the rubbish-strewn street. A dwarf comes up to Barb.
Get a knife.
Barb's customer unlocks a wire mesh gate and lets Barb walk through. There's a machine mounted on the wall. He stands in front of it so that his eyes are level with its monitor screen.
Apartment 472. One guest.
Retinal scan verified. Ruben Hannibal. 10811.
They walk into an apartment block. 2 seedy-looking men are sitting in the lobby. Barb looks them over before she and her client take the lift upstairs. They come out into a dingy corridor.
Oh,
He opens the door to his apartment and shows Barb inside. He turns on a lamp. The bed is unmade and there's mess everywhere. The tables are covered in magazines.
How romantic.
The man throws a stack of porn magazines on the sofa. Then he grabs Barb.
Ooh. I have an idea. Why don't you go change into something a little more comfortable?
How about something a little less comfortable?
I can hardly wait.
The man crashes into a chair, then hurries into the next room and closes the door. Barb turns on the TV. She throws some guns on the sofa, then looks through some electronic equipment at the wall. The name William Krebs flashes on the viewfinder.
Bingo, Mr. Krebs.
She throws the equipment down and takes off her jacket. Her customer comes in, wearing a gimp suit and carrying a spanking paddle.
Did you wash your hands?
No. I was bad.
I'm so glad to hear that.
He walks up to her and she takes the paddle. Then she kisses her finger and holds it to his lips.
Now close your eyes and turn around.
He does as he's told. Barb swings the paddle at his head.
Oops.
She squirts a white gel onto the wall in the shape of a door frame. Once it's solidified, she fixes a charge into the gel. Then she puts a mattress over the wall, tips up the dining table, and hides behind it. Finally, she presses the detonator. Downstairs in the lobby.
What the hell?
Upstairs, Barb runs through the hole in the wall into the next room. Krebs goes for his gun.
I wouldn't do that if I were you, Krebs.
She knocks him back onto the bed and handcuffs him. Outside.
Come on, move your ass!
Barb hears the two men approaching.
Shit.
Barb kicks a table across and one of the men falls to the floor. She returns the other's fire and rolls back into the other apartment. The man has to change cartridges.
Go.
The two men run through the hole. Barb smashes one with the fridge door. He knocks her gun away, but she knees him in the chest, shuts him in the fridge, and fires through the door. Now the other man opens fire. Barb somersaults over the tipped-up table and takes cover, returning fire with her handgun. Barb kicks a leg off the table and leans round the corner, a gun in each hand. Barb has to change cartridges. The man inches towards the hole in the wall. There is no movement from behind the table. He creeps through the hole and Barb attacks from the side. He rams her against the wall with a chair, but she slides down and punches him in the groin. He throws the chair at her, but she ducks and floors him with a roundhouse kick. He falls back through the hole. She puts her boot on his groin.
You're not going soft on me, are you?
Okay, you can have him.
Good. You're my last bail jumper, Krebs. Wake up, sunshine.
Please don't kill me. That was nice kicking. You really know your stuff, babe.
Behind her, the man draws a knife.
What did you call me?
She takes Krebs' gun from the chest of drawers by the bed.
Don't call me babe.
The man falls out the window and hangs by his tie. Barb looks down at her hand. One of her fingernails is broken.
God damn it.
She dumps Krebs over the back of her bike and drives to a building downtown. The sign outside says, Bail Bonds, 24-hour service. A balding man in a green jacket comes outside.
Ah, Mr. Krebs. It's a pleasure to see you. You know, we were getting very concerned. And Barb, It's a pleasure to see you too. You're looking rather buoyant this evening.
Shut up. My fee.
$10,000?
No. The price went up for this one, Schmitz.
We had an agreement.
You told me Krebs was alone and unarmed. He wasn't.
Sorry.
How could I know that? Bounty hunting is an ugly, unpredictable business. Barb, you of all people should know that. How much?
$20,000.
Schmitz reaches inside his jacket and throws her a wad of money, but Barb throws it back.
Canadian.
Oh, Miss Wire. I do believe that I'm being extorted here. And as a duly authorized officer of the court, I must protest.
Three men come out.
Look at it this way, Schmitz. Alive, Krebs represents your investment in his bail bond. Dead, he's toxic waste.
She holds a gun to Krebs' head.
$20,000, Canadian, now.
Schmitz holds his hand out, and his henchman passes him some money. Schmitz hands it to Barb, who tucks it in her jacket. She gets back on her bike, kicking Krebs as she swings her legs over the saddle.
It's a pleasure doing business with you, Barb.
If it was a pleasure, Schmitz, I'd charge you more.
She roars away, letting Krebs fall off the back of her bike. Back at the Hammerhead Club, the two men are still fighting outside. Inside, Barb is wearing a plunging black dress. She goes down to the bar. Barb goes up to Curly and blows on his ear.
Everything go okay?
Candy from the baby. Hey, the hell, for God's sakes.
Please, not in public.
Excuse me, Miss Wire! Hi. I'm going back to the front lines tomorrow, and I was wondering, you look beautiful. Would you dance with me?
Come on, Barb. Give him a swear.
Barb walks over to the soldier and leads him onto the dance floor.
I can't believe I'm actually dancing with Deep Barb Wire.
What are you from, soldier?
The Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Or what's left of it. Did you hear the Congressionals just took over Denver?
No, I didn't. Do you have a girl back home?
Yeah.
Do you miss her?
Yes, ma'am. Every day.
Tell you what. Close your eyes. And let's pretend she's right here in your arms.
Yes, ma'am.
The doors burst open to reveal a squad of policemen led by a tall man in his early 40s wearing a casual suit. He has a moustache and light brown hair.
Everyone stay where you are. This is the police.
Willis, Steel Harbor's chief of police. He was a drunk with sticky fingers, but at least he was honest. He admitted he was a liar and a thief.
Check his ID.
Yes, sir.
They go over to a man who hands Willis a card saying Benjamin Jones. An officer holds a scanning machine up to the man's face.
Retinal scan verified. Lawrence Crabtree, 57239.
Ben Jones, eh? Arrest him.
Hey, come on!
Good luck, soldier.
Barb walks away across the dance floor. The soldier punches the air in frustration. Willis points to a female customer.
Next!
All right, get out of the way!
Arrest her.
Willis, what the hell's going on?
Barb, how lovely to see you.
What gives?
Some messy business tonight, Miss Wire. Most unpleasant. A rather spectacular double homicide in the old harbor.
So?
So, we're checking a few IDs. We have reason to believe this might have been resistance-related. And as your bar is non-discriminating to this town's more nefarious side...
How long is this going to take?
Everything's negotiable.
Curly.
Music!
Bob. Whiskey.
Really upgraded this place from what it was, Barb. I like the new sound system. Sounds expensive.
I've been saving my lunch money.
I didn't know you were open for lunch. A little gun running here, some bail jumping there, the occasional midnight detonation. Those are the kind of jobs that pay for new toys.
I don't moonlight.
I do.
She undresses behind a screen.
It's very profitable.
So what's with the bullshit arrest this time? You sold half those fake congressional IDs yourself.
What? Bullshit arrests? Two of my men are dead. Now, granted, they were homicidal thugs, but nevertheless, they were my men.
What makes you think resistance was involved?
She emerges wearing a black leather basque and long black gloves.
Why? Do you have any other information I should know about?
Of course not.
Of course not.
He kisses her.
That's sexual harassment, Chief.
He bars her way.
Listen, Barbara Kopetsky. We could play this little cat and mouse game all night long, but I have more important things on my mind. Now, where the hell is William Krebs?
Never heard of him. Why are men watching him?
It's classified police business.
She reclines on a sofa covered in leopard skin pillows.
I can tell you he was resistance, and the Congressionals have $1 million bounty on his head. So someone knew where Krebs was. I could make it worth their while.
Goodbye, Willis.
Okay. By the way, Barb, we're expecting some distinguished visitors tomorrow. A congressional delegation out of Washington, including First Directorate Colonel Victor Prizer. Thought I might bring him by the Hammerhead.
Their money will be welcome.
You don't know Victor Prizer. Oh, speaking of money, Barb, I don't have to make any more arrests tonight for, say, the usual 3,000.
1,500.
1,500. I think I better go down and start checking some more IDs. 2,500.
$2,000.
Darling.
$30 for the cognac.
Add it to my tab, Miss Kopetsky. Boom, boom, boom.
Miss Kopetsky died in the war. I'm barbed wire.
Morning at the Hammerhead Club. Curly and the barman are cleaning up. A burly, shaven-headed man staggers through the door.
Cigarettes. Drink, I'll be fine.
Give me your goddamn drink! You, or you! Just give me my drink!
Sir, we're not open yet.
I think you've had enough already.
Blow me!
Camille, package check.
Camille runs up and bites the man's groin.
Get her off! Get her off of me!
That's Camille. She works here. Camille, sit. Now you don't want to see her roll over, do you?
No.
Good.
No.
Camille, outside.
Camille pulls on the man's groin and drags him to the door.
Have a nice day.
Yes, ma'am.
Night at the Hammerhead Club. Inside, the barman pours a drink for Willis, who's in a smart police uniform. Barb is talking to one of the staff. She's wearing black bra and leather trousers.
Joe, see if you can
get
some food down Charles' neck. Oh, Willis, what's with the monkey suit?
You know how uniforms impress the congressionals. Delegation arrived this morning. Look lively, Barb. They could be here any minute.
Excuse me, Bob.
My table?
Best in the house, as you requested.
Just keep them away from the weapons check, Curly. We don't want any of our excitable customers from the United Front trying to get even.
I think you'll find our guests from Washington command a bit more respect than that, Barb.
I think you're confusing respect with fear.
The door opens. A long shadow falls across the floor. Prizer and a group of armed soldiers walk through the turnstile and into the bar. They are all dressed in full army uniform. Prizer slowly removes his black leather gloves.
Speak of the devil. They are punctual, I'll give them that.
Willis downs his drink.
You'll join us for a drink later. On my tab, of course.
That chance.
Colonel Prizer, Alexander Willis, Director of Police Operations. Welcome to Steel Harbor.
Wipe that smile off your face, Willis.
This burnt-out hellhole is the last place on Earth I want to be. And if it wasn't for your almost complete incompetence, I wouldn't be here in the first place, would I?
Yes, well, needless to say, we had intended to have both Krebs and Cora D extradited and sent to Washington by now. However, due to circumstances outside of our control...
Listen! Carefully!
Change of plans.
If Cora D escapes, I will personally rip your heart out of your ass and stuff it back down your throat.
That's not very sanitary.
Prizer remains stony-faced. He moves off into the bar, followed by his men.
Baby, you tell me it's late, but I'm here to tell you, it only feels that way. So sit back and enjoy someone or something, illicit if you can get it, and listen to the music.
Gentlemen, the stakes are excellent tonight.
Bob comes over to Willis and Prizer's table.
Colonel Prizer, allow me to introduce our hostess, the inimitable...
Even in Washington. We've heard of barbed wire. I hope you'll join us.
She sits down.
You attract a very eclectic crowd.
It looks that way.
Rumor has it that you used to fight with the resistance.
Shouldn't believe everything you hear. I'm neutral. I'm a businesswoman, Colonel.
Perhaps we can do business.
I can assure you, Barb has a very keen sense of commerce.
Then I'll get to the point. There's a future for traders at Steel Harbor. She intends to make a crossing into Canada with the help of some of the more disenchanted members of the citizenry.
Do I look disenchanted to you?
I'm sure that your business dealings bring you in contact with all levels of society.
I thought you were getting to the point.
Her name is Dr. Corinna Devonshire, but you may have heard of her as Cora D. One of those overly romanticized resistance names keeps her legend alive.
What does she look like?
We're not sure. She had her appearance surgically altered. These are photos of her before.
The photos show a young black woman.
Well, I guess it's hard to find somebody unless you know what she looks like.
Her present appearance is of no consequence. Identification can always be made by retinal scanning. So, the congressionals can count on your assistance?
Excuse me, boss.
Trouble in the kitchen. I need you.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I have a bar to run.
Prizer and his officer stand as Barb walks away.
Very interesting woman.
With most impressive assets.
Gentlemen.
Here you are, sir.
At the entrance, people hand their guns over a counter. A man tags the guns and puts them in overhead baskets. Axel and Cora are in the queue. They lay their weapons on the counter and go inside.
Fighting.
They go through the turnstile and into the bar area.
Yeah, two beers, buddy. I'm looking for Bob or Charlie Kapitsky.
Cora walks to the side of the bar and looks over the balcony to the tables below. She sees Prizer and Willis.
The Congressionals.
She sees her photographs on their table.
They have my photographs.
Let's hope resistance are here. They must be looking everywhere for you.
Well, who are we meeting?
Someone I used to know. Will you?
Axel goes over to Charlie, who's sitting alone at a table wearing his sunglasses.
Hello, Charlie.
Charlie pauses, just as he's about to take a drink.
This must be a post-traumatic stress flashback. I could swear I just heard an old voice from the battlefield.
Surprised to see me?
Charlie removes his glasses. His eyes are completely white.
Do I look surprised? Guess you didn't hear. A congressional smart grenade. It followed me all the way to my foxhole. I thought I dug it deep enough. I guess I didn't.
Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Missed two bourbons.
You don't have to buy me a drink, Axel. I'm tight with the management here. You've got a lot of nerve coming in here.
I had no choice. Where's Bob?
I don't think talking to Barb's gonna be such a good idea. She took Seattle a hell of a lot harder than I did.
I need her help, Charlie. I need her to put us in touch with local resistance.
Haven't you heard? Barb's retired. Leave. Now. Before Barb sees you. There's no telling what she might do.
Too late.
Barb spots Axel and strides towards him.
Three. Two. One.
Barb punches Axel, and he falls back into a group of soldiers.
Are you all right?
Okay, I guess I deserve that.
Get out.
Look, I need your help.
Rotten hell.
Yes, I will, but I need your help first. I remember when you believed in something.
I remember how I felt. Like I was kicked in the stomach.
I'm looking for a man named Cribbs, and I've got 24 hours to find him.
I don't even know how I feel. Actually, I don't feel much of anything anymore.
But will you just trust me, please?
Trust you? Like I did in Seattle?
What happened in Seattle is not what you think, and I never wanted to hurt you. And now's not the time to explain.
We're 3 years late, Axel. Get out. Don't come back.
Barb grabs the check and throws it on the floor. Axel looks at Willis and Prizer, then glares at Barb. He walks away as Willis comes over.
Such blatant disregard for money.
Axel goes back to Cora. Prizer comes up to Barb.
Thank you for your hospitality, Citizen Warner. And I do hope you'll think about our offer.
Prizer puts his leather gloves back on and leads his troops out of the bar. Axel and Cora make their exit too.
I'm thinking about it.
Axel and Cora move off through the crowd of bikers outside.
I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have come here.
That woman's in love with you.
Cora, there is quite a lot of things I need to tell you.
Well, I hope it's not too late.
Over here.
Charlie?
I can help. The blind leading the blind.
Axel and Cora exchange glances.
Go to the old factory district. There's a place called Steel Harbor Metal Works. It's a front for the resistance. There's a stairway in the back near the loading dock. Watch yourself.
In the metalworks, Axel leads Cora up the back stairway, his pistol raised. He opens a wire mesh gate.
Shit.
Axel and Cora put their hands up. They're led by a troop of armed guards into a large office area. In the shadows, a woman adjusts a throat microphone around her neck.
Who are you?
Charlie Kopetsky sent us. Doesn't matter who I am, but this is Cora D.
Scan.
Cora and Axel are placed with their backs to each other. A man holds a scanning machine to their faces.
Retinal scan verified. Dr. Corina Devonshire. 44791.
Cora D, I'm honored. We've been looking for you. I never thought I'd meet the legend in person. I'm Commander here, they call me Spag.
You're so young.
Maybe, but I'm tough.
Well, we're glad we found you. We hope that you can help us. Spike.
It took us a while, but we found Krebs. The lenses are gone, not to mention his eyeballs. We found him in an abandoned washing machine behind the old VA hospital.
The Congressionals took the lenses? They did this?
No. The Congressionals are still looking for Krebs, we know that for sure. Willis and the local cops don't know the squad either. Everybody's chasing their tail.
So who's got the contact lenses now?
Word on the street is that Krebs was turned over to a bail bondsman named Schmitz. Schmitz was then going to turn Krebs over to the Congressionals for the $1 million bounty. Then he got wise to the lenses.
Those lenses are worth maybe $2 million on the black market.
Without them, there's absolutely no way that I'll be able to get past the retinal scanner checkpoint and get on that plane. Now, what are we waiting for? Let's get Schmitz.
It's not that easy, Doc. We can't find him anywhere.
That plane for Canada leaves in 24 hours.
There must be somebody that can help us out.
There's only one person in Steel Harbor that has connections on all sides. If anybody would know where Schmitz is, she would. Trouble is, she won't help nobody for free, and we're a little low on cash.
At the bail bond office, a man is on the phone.
You know I do. Honey, don't make me say it. Okay, I love you. Okay, bye. What are you two laughing at?
Who was that?
Your mother.
Three.
How many?
The three men are playing poker.
I mean, maybe two.
One man reaches for the cash.
You bet, Mo.
Yeah, I bet. When I get ready, just wait.
Prizer's men barge in. The three bail bond men are dead. Prizer walks into the room. Willis comes in behind him. Prizer looks round at the devastated office.
I don't know how you do things in Washington, Colonel, but I do make the occasional arrest without slaughter.
Prizer turns to one of his officers.
You incompetent. We needed to make an interrogation.
Sorry, sir, they resisted.
Willis and Prizer turn away from the officer and walk into the center of the room.
Any of these men, Schmidt?
Nope.
Willis looks through the documents on the table.
Look who's here.
It's a photo of Krebs.
Krebs? Cordy can't be far. I'll need one of the bodies. Preferably one without a head wound.
Morning at the Hammerhead Bar. There's a gun and a bottle of whiskey on one of the tables. Suddenly, a gloved hand plonks down a glass. Charlie stops and walks over to the table.
Hey, you want some company?
No.
Okay. Do you want some advice?
No.
Okay. Drink when you want to remember, Barb. Don't drink when you want to forget.
Barb pours more whiskey over the ice in her glass.
I'll be there. I promise.
Flashback to a battlefield in the past. Barb and another soldier are waiting by a helicopter.
Barb, we have to go now!
No, he'll be here!
A man runs up. He pulls her into the helicopter as it lifts into the air. Below them, soldiers run past burning vehicles. Back in the present, Schmitz comes into the bar, smoking nervously.
You cheated me out of $1 million, Schmitz. I should blow your head off right now.
Lucky for me, you don't hold a grudge.
Don't I?
She swings her gun round to point at him.
$1 million is pocket change to what's going down. I got a business proposition for you. You got connections. Everyone knows that.
I don't take sides.
Exactly. You deal with everybody. I've got something to deal.
What, you can't sell Krebs on your own?
It's not about Krebs anymore. It's about retinal contact lenses.
He pulls them from his pocket.
Smuggled in from Germany. You put these in your eyes, you can get through any retinal scanner. Congressional or UN. I was going to sell them, but my buyer fell through.
Krebs was resistance. Those belong to his friends. Do yourself a favor. Just give them back. Say you're sorry.
God damn it, Barb, I can't. They'll kill me and you know it.
The lenses are in a clear tube full of liquid.
The Congressionals broke into my office. They slaughtered everybody. They were looking for me. With or without these, I'm a dead man.
Relax, Schmitz. You can only die once.
She gets up and walks away.
Barb. I know I double-crossed you. I made a mistake. It happens. I want to trade the lenses.
She makes herself a drink.
I want to trade them to you.
For what?
Get me out of Steel Harbor. Canada, maybe. Just get me out, and they're yours.
You want out? Click your heels together 3 times.
You could sell these. You know how much they're worth? You could get 2 mil, Canadian, easy. That's enough money to get to Europe. You could get one of those neuroelectrical operations for Charlie's eyes.
I don't buy. I don't sell. Get out.
Schmitz looks at her spitefully.
You're gonna regret not dealing with me. You're gonna regret this very, very much.
I'll add that to my list.
Barb raises her glass. Schmitz is walking out the bar when he spots the kitchens. He goes inside and searches through the clutter. He checks to see if anyone has heard. He sticks the tube containing the lenses under the sink, then runs out. Charlie is drinking on the walkway above the kitchen. In an operating theatre, the body of one of the bail bond men is lying in a tank full of ice. Willis and Prizer listen to Prizer's officer.
The subject is reasonably fresh, but we'll probably only get a few seconds of readable thought data, Colonel.
Cognitive impressions, usually those closest to death first, and then what's left. Memories, dreams.
Record it.
Sir, step away from the tank.
The body is bathed in white light, and images flash across a monitor screen.
That's it?
Here it is in slow motion, Colonel.
The monitor shows a series of images. An open all-night sign, some playing cards, the soldier's machine gun attack. Then, they see Barb throwing money back at Schmitz.
Issue a warrant for the arrest of Barb Wire.
Issue a warrant? This isn't Washington, Prizer. I need a reason.
She's involved.
Yeah, well, you heard what he said. Sometimes all you get are dreams. Well, every man in Steel Harbor dreams about Barb Wire. I need something more conclusive than a bunch of blurry images on a video monitor.
When did the real law ever matter to you?
Miss Wire may know the whereabouts of the retinal contact lenses. We will search your bar.
Retinal lenses? All of this is over a set of Bausch and Lomb's?
All of this is over capturing an enemy of the Republic. A traitor named Cora D. If Cora D were to exit this charming free city, your relationship with the Republic would be severely compromised.
He picks up a set of surgical pliers.
Painfully compromised.
Do I make myself clear?
Mm-hmm.
Your administrative fee should cover the cost of issuing a search warrant. Now, find a reason to search the hammerhead.
As you wish, Colonel. As you wish.
At the Hammerhead Club, Barb is taking a bubble bath in a see-through circular tub. The shadow of a man falls across the frosted glass in the wall. Two eyes peer at her through some slats. Slowly, Barb reaches for her gun lying on the marble beside her. The red dot of a laser falls squarely on the man's forehead. It's Axel. He spreads his jacket wide.
I'm unarmed.
How'd you get in here? Where's my dog?
Hey, I'm irresistible to females.
Camille runs in.
Thanks, Camille.
Barb gets out of the bath, still holding her gun on Axel.
Towel.
Axel throws her a black towel.
What, are you gonna shoot me?
Why waste a good bullet? I thought I told you never to come back.
I came here to do a job. The biggest operation I ever signed up for. And I came ready for anything the Congressionals could lob at me. The only thing I wasn't prepared for was running into you.
You'll get over it. I did.
She walks past him and down the stairs. They get into the lift.
I wouldn't have come here unless I had to.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be here if I knew you were coming.
Oh, God damn it.
She kisses him.
I guess it's bad timing for both of us.
He kisses her again. Cora is waiting in Barb's office at the top of the lift shaft. She sees them kissing.
Am I interrupting something?
Lovely, you brought company.
Barb walks in, still only wearing a towel round her body.
Barb, this is my wife, Cora D.
How impressive. I'm sure you'll have very strong, smart children.
Look, I know this is awkward for all of us. And Barb, you gotta know, all I ever wanted back in Seattle was to disappear with you and never look back. The war changed that.
The war changed everything. Good one.
I'm not surprised you don't believe me. But listen, the mission took months, and I just thought after all that time, I was just better left a part of your past.
Oh, so that's why I didn't get an invitation to your wedding.
Barb, there's more to this story than meets the eye. Do you remember what happened in Topeka, Kansas? How the whole city was wiped out? I can explain. I was chief of medical research for the Congressional Directorate. Now, I was directly but unknowingly involved in a globally catastrophic project, an HIV derivative known as Red Ribbon. It can kill you in 12 hours. When I learned that Topeka, Kansas was a lab experiment and that the Congressionals planned to unleash Red Ribbon on the entire free territories, I defected to the resistance. It was Axel that helped me get out of Washington. Initially, we married on paper purely for identification purposes. We've been on the run ever since.
How utterly goddamn heroic. Now, what the hell do you want with me?
Cora has the vaccine to Red Ribbon in her system, and the Congressionals want it back. We have to get her to Canada to tell the Truth Commission there's a cure to the Congressionals' deadly epidemic. We have to tell the world. Now, we need your help, Barb. The cause needs your help.
What has the cause done for me lately?
Barb, where are the contact lenses?
If I knew, you think I'd tell you?
Look, we know that Schmitz was here last night. Now, if you know where the lenses are, for Christ's sake, will you just name a price? That's what you do, isn't it? Sell yourself to the highest bidder?
I'm out of your price range.
Army jeeps pull up outside the Hammerhead Club. Charlie is drinking at the bar when the soldiers break in. Axel and Cora see them through the office blinds.
Is there another way out of here?
Are you kidding? They'll have every exit covered.
A police car screeches to a halt by Willis.
Move it, lady!
More soldiers clamber over the broken doors into the club. Charlie remains seated at the bar. Now Prizer appears at the door. The soldiers start to climb the stairs. In Barb's office.
Give me 3 minutes and meet me downstairs.
Why should we trust you?
Maybe you shouldn't.
She flashes her body as she puts on her bathrobe. Cora looks at her scornfully. Downstairs.
Check him!
Yes, sir.
Hey!
Let's head back.
The officer scans Charlie.
He doesn't have any retinas, you morons!
The men let Charlie go.
Sorry about that, Charlie.
Prizer comes over. But before he reaches Charlie, Barb appears at the top of the staircase.
We're not open for breakfast.
It's all very legal. We have a warrant.
It's a little sticky.
What exactly are you looking for, Willis?
This is a murder investigation.
It's a congressional matter. I can assure you, citizen, that if we discovered that you're involved, the consequences would be abrupt and severe.
Cora and Axel come down.
Who are they?
I pick them up off the boulevard. I like a good menage every now and then.
Prizer smiles. Barb turns to Alex and Cora.
Go out through the back.
Scan them.
This is ridiculous.
The officer scans Cora's eyes.
Come in, scan. Malfunction.
Charlie hides something in his hand.
Sir, the scanner's broken, sir.
Idiot.
Prizer turns to Cora.
You're wasting my time. Get out.
Axel and Cora leave.
How long is this going to take?
As long as it takes, citizen. As long as it takes.
Prizer looks her up and down and smiles. Then he turns back to his guards. He makes a circling motion with his hand, then pulls it down sharply. The men scatter to different parts of the building. They smash the tables with hammers and push glasses onto the floor. Curly comes out of the shadows and watches the mayhem from above. The soldiers shoot barrels of beer with machine guns. Charlie hides under the bar. He reaches up and grabs his whiskey. Curly holds his hands over his ears. Barb pulls Charlie out from under the bar and whacks a soldier with Charlie's cane. The destruction continues. Later, the soldiers have gone. The bar is in tatters. Barb sits next to Charlie on the walkway above what was the kitchen.
I wish you could see this mess.
I couldn't see when it was clean. What the hell were they looking for anyway?
Stupid contact lenses.
Oh yeah?
Schmitz was here last night trying to trade me for a trip to Canada. Should have done it.
Contact lenses?
Yeah.
Charlie pulls them from his pocket.
Like these? What color are they?
The color of money.
We can give them to Axel and help them escape.
Not so fast. This is our ticket to Europe.
Hey, they don't belong to us.
Finders keepers.
Hey, I still believe in fighting for what's right.
Oh, cheer up, baby brother. We're rich.
You're making a mistake, Barb.
Tell me that when we get to Paris.
A big one.
Oh, Charlie, you worry too much.
It's not just about money, you know.
I knew Charlie was still friendly with the resistance, but I didn't know how friendly.
Through a scrapyard on her motorbike, zigzagging past the huge piles of refuse. She drives to a fenced-off section guarded by armed men. She pulls up and is surrounded by a cordon of six sentries.
What's the problem?
He's expecting me.
Let her through.
There are security cameras and a loudspeaker system in the makeshift complex. A JCB approaches, its excavator bucket held aloft. Sitting in it, as if on a throne, is a fat man in coloured robes. He has a large moustache and is chewing on a chicken leg.
Big Fatso, how's the king of the underworld?
Well, well, well. It isn't Barb the Buxom.
A gesture.
She throws him a brown paper bag.
Donuts. I thought I'd be hearing from you real soon.
I have a proposition.
Oh, now, ain't that sweet? But you know I only like big, fat women.
Barb walks over, and the excavator bucket lowers to eye level.
A business proposition.
As in, lenses? Oh, now, don't give me that surprised look. Like you don't know what I'm talking about. You didn't drive all the way to the heart of the evil empire to see how my diet's going. You came here to talk about the contact lenses, didn't you?
I'm in a position to broker their sale.
That's what I heard. I believe you've already met Mr. Smith.
He shows her Schmitz's body.
Never looked better.
Let's make a deal.
Charlie wanders through the deserted factory district. The area is strewn with broken down vehicles. He goes into the metalworks by the cargo cranes and taps his way along the machinery dumped there.
Spike?
The floor is littered with bodies.
Anybody? It's Charlie, I'm here.
Spike ain't here.
Well, where is she?
Gingerly, Charlie moves further into the building.
She knows I was supposed to meet her here.
She sent me instead.
Yeah, well, I talked to Spike or I talked to nobody. If the Resistance wants to know where those lenses are, you get me Spike.
Coming right down.
Spike's body is hanging by the neck from the ceiling. The rope is lowered as Prizer's men surround Charlie. Prizer appears on a gantry overlooking the warehouse floor. Charlie bumps into Spike's body on its way down. He reaches up and feels her face.
Spike!
Charlie Kapetsky!
The soldiers grab Charlie. Hey.
You are charged with concealing information regarding the whereabouts of a certain pair of contact lenses. You can cooperate and talk to me, or you can join your little friend.
I'd rather join my friend!
Pr- Kreiser is joined by two other officers at Big Fatso's.
1 million Canadian.
Deal.
I'm not done yet. There's a plane I want to catch. It's at the old airport on the other side of the unoccupied zone.
Ooh, unoccupied zone. Bad part of town.
I want safe passage for me and Charlie all the way through the unoccupied zone. That means an escort all the way to the old airport.
The zone can be very unpredictable. And the toll collector is quite difficult. I'd have to stack a few more men here, there. How about half a mil Canadian?
750 up front.
Deal. You got the lenses.
What do I look? New? I'll meet you at the first toll entering the unoccupied zone an hour before sundown. Cash for the lenses right there. You're 5 minutes late, I sell to another buyer.
She gets on her bike. She zooms away from the compound. Prizer attaches Charlie to the mind-reading machine.
It's all on the damn screen. It's not picking up his thoughts.
Apparently, Colonel, he has no visual data for that period.
God damn it. Where are the lenses? Speak now, man. I suffer at your leisure.
The Easter Bunny took them.
I'll talk.
Smoke rises from Charlie's body.
This guy has him.
What guy?
He's fat. Wears a red suit. White beard. Name's Kringle. Chris Kringle.
Merry Christmas.
Charlie's head falls back, and his body lies still. At the Hammerhead Club, Curly sweeps up the broken glass, while one of the singers sits at the bar.
What a mess.
Well, this mess is all yours, Curly.
Barb walks in.
The bar is yours.
To the singer.
Get out.
I'm giving it to you. Me and Charlie were history.
What do you mean, history? You leaving forever? You're not coming back?
In her bedroom.
Look, Barb. I have no experience in running a bar. I'm just a waiter, for Christ's sake.
Oh, Curly, relax. You're a natural.
She opens a secret door in the wall.
Come here.
Camille and Curly follow her into a garage space. Curly turns on the lights, revealing an armored van.
Well, this is it.
Curly hugs her, pressing his face into her hair.
I'm gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss you too, Curly. Now take care of Camille, okay?
Yeah, right. I never thought I would see the day you drive away in that horrible thing.
Where's Charlie? He's supposed to be here.
He told me I had to go and see an old friend of his, someone named Spike.
Spike? Get in.
The armored van pulls up outside the metalworks. Curly and Barb get out and run inside. Barb walks warily through the large open space. Suddenly, she steps on something. Charlie's sunglasses.
Oh, God.
She sees the hanging bodies of Spike and Charlie.
Charlie!
Curly runs inside. Cora and Axel are also at the Resistance hideout. He carries a machine gun, she's holding a pistol. They go into the upstairs room and find it littered with corpses. They move cautiously to the other side of the room. They pull back some plastic sheeting and find Barb kneeling over Charlie's body.
Charlie. We heard the Congressionals discovered this place. We're on our way to warn them.
Yeah, well, you were too late.
Listen to me, Barb. We need your help. There's no more time. That plane leaves in 90 minutes. You're the only one who could help us now. Please. For Charlie.
Barb looks up, anger in her eyes.
I'll take care of Charlie.
Barb kisses Charlie on the forehead and pulls off the chain around his neck. Then she stands up, resolute.
Let's go.
She leads Axel and Cora out of the building towards the armored van. She opens the back door of the van, revealing an arsenal of guns. She takes a pump-action shotgun, a hunting knife, a pistol, bullets, cartridges, and grenades. She hangs an ammunition belt over her shoulder.
What about the lenses?
They're safe.
She throws Axel a shotgun.
She'll never be able to get on that plane without the contact lenses. Let's have them.
I said they were safe. Are you coming or not?
She gets into the driver's seat. The ignition key engages the landmine sensor, GPS and zone scan. Axel gazes at the machinery on the dashboard.
Does the word overkill mean anything to you?
Have you ever tried to drive out of Steel Harbor?
No.
Then shut up.
They drive through streets full of burning cars and refuse. A scantily clad woman walks past a squad of patrolling soldiers. The van passes a sign that says, "Warning, you are now entering the UN protected area. Proceed at your own risk."
What's this?
It's a roadblock. On the other side is the unoccupied zone.
There's a toll.
The van passes through an area full of ruined buildings. Armed men stand on guard. Barb pulls up in front of a line of sentries.
You two stay here.
What's going on?
This is our escort.
Barb pushes her way through the guards to where Big Fatso is sitting in the excavator bucket of his JCB.
Woo! Look at her, all gussied up. Ooh, nice jewelry, Barb.
Got the money?
No chit-chat. Have it your way.
His henchman opens a briefcase containing a small card.
I said cash.
Hey, I had to work fast. It's a gold debit card with 750,000 credit on it. As good as cash.
That wasn't part of the deal, Big Fatso.
I told you, I had to work fast. You got the lenses?
She holds them up.
Nice.
Hey, watch him.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Back off, Axel.
Well, well, well. If it isn't Axel the Freedom Fighter and the famous Cora D, we got ourselves a star-studded gathering going on right here now.
How could you?
How many times do I have to tell you? I don't take sides. I'm in this for me only. Right, Big Fatso?
That's right, and I like the way you think, Barb.
The henchman throws the briefcase down to another guard.
The lenses.
Barb hands them to the guard and takes the briefcase. The lenses are passed up to Big Fatso.
All right, phase two of the deal. A safe escort to the old airport.
Oh, slight change in plans.
Army vans zoom round the corner.
Fast son of a bitch.
Axel, Cora and Barb are surrounded by the army, a squad of police cars and Fatso's armed men. Prizer climbs out of his car.
Nice work, Mr. Big Fatso!
I'm the man!
Barb, I'm gonna have to ask you to drop your weapons.
Barb puts her guns on the floor.
You'll love this, Barb. Not only do I get the lenses, but I get $1 million bounty on your head, and $1 million bounty on the head of the good doctors for turning you both over to the Congressional. And not to mention the $750,000 credit on the debit card. Don't you just love it when a plan comes together?
Prizer goes over to Cora.
The face may deceive, but the eyes, they never lie. Do they, Dr. Devonshire? Washington has been in such an uproar since you ran away. I can't tell you how eager we are to have you back.
She spits on him. Calmly, Prizer takes his handkerchief and wipes his face.
Poor. Chief Willis, arrest these people.
Willis walks over to Barb.
I want you to know I had nothing to do with what happened to Charlie. I'm sorry.
He puts a handcuff on her wrist and pulls her hands behind her back, only to drop a grenade in her palm. As he moves over to Cora, Barb wrenches the pin out with her teeth and holds up the grenade.
Don't move!
Look out, she's got a grenade!
Barb throws the grenade high into the sky. Everyone scatters. Barb, Cora, Axel and Willis jump into the armored van. The grenade lands on Big Fatso's stomach. Barb drives away as the JCB and the surrounding cars catch fire.
Hold on.
Jeez, we're gonna die.
Barb crashes through the toll gate. Prizer chases after them in his army van. The army trucks and police cars chase Barb through an industrial complex. Willis takes off Cora's handcuffs.
How am I supposed to get on the plane now?
If you ever get out of this alive, Barb, I'll kill you.
Police lean out of their cars and start shooting.
Axel, take the wheel.
What?
Don't argue, hurry.
They swap places.
In an emergency, pull that yellow lever.
How come I don't get to drive?
The van's back doors open and Barb zooms out on her motorbike. Axel races away from the pursuing police cars. A monitor shows the van's shielding is operating. Barb draws up in front of the police cars and fires her rocket launcher. The huge blast takes out police cars and army jeeps. Vehicle.
Second toll, dead ahead.
The airport's just beyond.
They run into a roadblock.
That's a bus, we can't just break through a bus.
Does this constitute an emergency?
Yes!
Axel pulls the yellow lever and activates a rocket launcher. The roadblock bursts into flame and the van plunges through the fire.
Oh, shit! Hang on!
Oh, where are you going?
The van hits a crate and flies into the air. It crashes onto its side and Prizer's car slams into it.
Shit!
Barb races to the scene on her motorbike. Axel climbs out of the wrecked van. Axel, Cora and Willis jump down onto the tarmac, but Prizer takes aim from his car. Willis and Axel return fire, and a gun battle ensues with Prizer's men. Barb roars through the flame, approaching Prizer from the other direction. He and the soldiers run for cover.
Hey,
they run over to some warehouse buildings, Barb hot on their trail. Prizer is caught in the crossfire. Barb pursues Prizer into the warehouse complex, but she loses sight of the soldiers and is forced to ride back to Axel and the others.
Gun. Well, let's get him to the airport. Quick, I'll stall him.
No, Barb, you can't.
Let me trick the plane, I promise.
right, let's go!
Barb sets off again as the others start running for the airport. She turns around a corner, and a soldier takes aim from a walkway above. An army van zooms past Axel.
Get Cora to the airport, I'm going back!
Aye, aye.
Go!
Aye, aye, aye,
aye. Axel runs back. Barb shoots at the gunman. The man plunges to his death. Axel runs into some soldiers. Axel runs, but there's another batch of soldiers behind him. He has no choice but to climb up onto a crane.
It's over here! Alright, let's go!
Axel returns fire, then continues climbing. A soldier climbs after him. Axel blasts the soldier back down the ladder, but others are behind him. Axel reaches the top of the crane. He shoots a gas tank behind the soldiers on the ground. The soldiers fall to the ground covered in flame. Axel looks at the gun in amazement. Now, he runs through the crane cabin, pursued by Pryor's officer. Barb pulls up outside one of the warehouses, takes off her helmet, and looks around.
Where are you, bastard?
Pryor drives a forklift truck through the warehouse wall and scoops up Barb's bike. Barb drops her machine gun. She can only throw her helmet at Pryor. Meanwhile, Axel fights the officer on the roof of the crane. Axel falls and has to cling onto the side. The soldier kicks his hands. Pryor drives into a car. Barb avoids the collision and the car is impaled on the forks. On the crane, Axel grabs the soldier's foot and throws him off balance. Axel hauls himself back on the roof. Pryor spins the truck round. Barb clings on, trying to free her leg caught between the bike and the truck. On the crane, with a well-aimed elbow in the back of the neck, Axel pitches the soldier into thin air. Axel sees Pryor drive the forklift truck onto the dockside. He leaps down the crane. Pryor smashes into some burning cars, throwing Barb across her bike. Axel goes into a crane cabin and up to the operator.
Is this the one that makes it go up and down?
Yeah, it does.
Which one makes it go around?
This one, right here.
What about this one?
Pryor drives his truck underneath the crane. Up above, Axel takes his place at the controls. Finally, Pryor comes to a halt. Axel lowers the crane hook towards the truck.
I'll touch him. The last stand of the desperate. Normally, I don't get emotional about my work, but vaporizing your springy ass is gonna be a real pleasure.
The crane swings across and hooks the truck, lifting it into the air. Barb struggles desperately to free her trapped leg. Pryor climbs out of the truck cabin and makes his way towards Barb. Finally, she breaks free and lashes out with a kick. As they fight, the crane swings them high in the air over the water. Pryor kicks Barb back so that she rolls over the impaled car and has to cling onto the side. The car starts to slip free of the forks. Axel moves the truck closer to the crane cabin. Pryor climbs onto the car roof.
Oh, Barb, we're so close! Don't you feel the magic?
She punches him so that he rolls onto the bonnet of the car. Barb manages to climb over the car and gets the forklift arm. Pryor goes after her. Barb knocks Pryor back and climbs up the forklift arm. Pryzer grabs her leg. Barb reaches the crane hook and holds on.
This is just like my favorite song! I got you, babe!
Don't call me babe.
Barb pulls the release lever and the truck plunges to the earth. Barb swings from the crane hook. Axel gives her a thumbs up from the cabin. A crowd of people queue up outside the airport. Willis and Cora are among them.
Attention, attention. Prepare for retinal scan identification enforcement. Only UN authorized and identified personnel will be permitted past this point. All infractions will be dealt with severely.
Damn, Willis, we've got to do something.
Could create a flamboyant diversion.
Thanks.
It's raining, and Willis and Cora clutch their jackets around them.
Attention, attention, préparez votre scan rétinal pour l'enforcement de votre identité. Que les personnes...
A small jet waits on the runway. Barb and Axel walk past the guards and into the complex.
There they are.
They go over to Willis and Cora.
Are we cutting it close enough?
Barb takes some blue lenses from her eyes and holds them out to Cora.
Put these in.
Line up seating flight 647. Destination Quebec, gate 2.
Call that plane!
Cora's now wearing the lenses. Her eyes are blue.
Good luck, Doc. Thank you.
Cora approaches the stewardess.
Destination, Quebec. Step to the scanner.
Cora approaches the scanner warily. She takes one last look over her shoulder, then steps up to the machine.
Retinal scan verified. Citizen approved by all governments.
She's home free. Mission completed.
Gonna miss your plane.
So I thought barbed wire never took sides.
Keep it to yourself.
Last call, flight 647.
Goodbye, Axel.
He touches her cheek and caresses her lips.
Goodbye.
Axel walks away.
Attention, attention.
Willis.
Flight 1018. Citizen approved by all governments. Flight 1018.
Willis looks at Barb and sighs. Axel runs up to the aircraft. Cora smiles and goes inside. Axel turns and looks at Barb one last time. Barb watches him impassively. Axel goes up the steps and into the plane. Barb is left standing with Willis in the rain.
Where will you go?
She fishes Big Fatso's gold debit card from her jacket.
Well, I hear Paris is nice this time of year.
She walks away across the tarmac.
I do believe I'm falling in love.
Get in line.
Audio description by ITFC.